Be far away, son.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the In Context podcast. Today, I keep saying that I have a friend of mine with me, and it sounds like I'm really popular, that I've got loads of friends, but this is another genuine friend of mine. It's Big Sam from Nidri. How are you doing, brother?
Yes, bro. Good to see you on this podcast, mate. I'm fighting the urge and I'll say anything inappropriate or swear, but the Lord's holding me fast, mate.
Oh, praise the Lord for that, brother. I'm sure even with the sanctification you've got and the best will in the world, you will still say something inappropriate.
Probably. It's early days yet, mate. You know what I mean? Good job we weren't recording about 5 minutes ago, eh?
Oh, class. Brother, explain a little bit about yourself, who you are, where do you come from, and how come you ended up in Nidri?
Yeah. So my name's Sam Wilkins. I come from Wales, a place called Newport. And I ended up in Nidri, well, God's providence, really. So I got saved about maybe just over 3.5 years ago now, back down in Wales. And yeah, it was quite a surreal experience. I would say about 5 years ago, I heard the gospel for the first time, which was a mad experience again then. But then nothing really happened for a year or so, do you know what I mean? And I was still up to all sorts, and you know, was involved in organised crime and all the rest of that shebang. Yeah, very evil, very violent man. And about a year later, I was up some hostel. Some boys owed some money for stuff, as it goes in our life. And I got there, and as I got there, I've gone into this hostel, really hot-headed, and the guy wasn't too keen on letting me in, to be honest, one of the guys there. And I've gone in there, like I said, a little hot-headed, and I said, right, listen, I'm looking for so-and-so and whatever. And I go into this, like, it's like a lounge area. I go in and I see the lounge area, and there's all these boys in there. It's like a drug rehabilitation hostel, do you know what I mean? So they're all addicts in there, yeah? And something hit me when I walked in the door. I was like, what was that, man? Like not physically hit me. I just thought, half of these boys I've probably put in here through stuff I've sold, yeah? And half of them as well absolutely petrified of me. Do you know what I mean? I felt like, I guess, what I know to be now a conviction, do you know what I mean, in my heart that I never had before. And then one of the guys, he was like the manager of the hostel at the time, so they switch over the rotors. I'm spoken to him in ages, but anyway, he's a guy called he won't mind me mentioning it. He's a guy called Jeff, and he came out, and he was a Christian, and he said he's Sam. He said he knew who I was, and knew about me and everything, and he said, can I do you want to come to the office, have a chat and whatever? So I went, and he spoke to me about the Bible and stuff, and I didn't really understand it, to be honest, but something was really happening. And I said, and I remember saying to him, I'm done with all this crap. I'm done with all this crap, I said. And he said, well, can I pray for you? So he rung a pastor he knew, and they both prayed for me. And I stayed in mad because I had a place I could go to, you know, and money, I had bad stuff. But I wanted to stay there for a bit for some reason. It was really surreal. Do you know what I mean? I stayed there, and I remember staying. I was staying in a sofa in like the dining room of a drug rehabilitation hostel, and I was just like, God has stripped everything back. I didn't have to be there either, but I kind of wanted to. And what Jeff did, this guy, he put a laminated poster of Ephesians 6 and the armor of God, and it was like a knight, and you know, he had all that, you know, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sandals of peace, you know. The sword that is a word, and the shield of faith, all these things. And it was like a picture of a knight, and he laminated it on the door into the dining room. And so I was there for quite a while, man, a good few weeks, I would say. And I was trying to, and I spun all the boys out in there because they're like, why is he not taking my head off? Do you know what I mean? They thought I was still there to collect money or something. Do you know what I mean? But when I was trying to be nice, it was just making them even more weird. They were even more weird. I said, let's not get some food here. I'll do this, I'll do that. Do you know what I mean? Anyway. Long story short, yeah. Within a few weeks of me being there, he put me in touch with his pastor, and then someone I met along the way went to another church, and a local church, and I went down to this local church then, started going there. And then by this point, I'd kind of moved out of the hostel, I had my own place, which that guy Jeff had actually helped me get. And you know, because I didn't want to do things, I was trying not to do things so dodgy. I was still really dodgy, but you know, you try and justify things in your head, and you're like, oh, well, I'm not as dodgy as I was before. So I'm smashing it as a Christian, you know what I mean? But I didn't have a clue, mate, what it meant to be a Christian or anything like that. So anyway, I've moved out to this little place. I'm trying to do things a bit better than I was before. And I was going to this church, and it, you know, it was a good church, very middle-class church. And, you know what I mean? They hadn't seen anyone like me. And, bruv, it spun me out, mate. It was like a cult. Do you know what I mean?
I'm a working-class church, and I've never met anyone like you.
So imagine how those poor folk felt in that church. Flipping heck. It's one of them. You know, like when you walk into a, I'll tell you what it's like, bruv, yeah? You know, like when you walk into a, you know, you go into a little town, you know, like a little village where everyone's related to each other. One of them villages. I'm not saying everyone in the church is related to each other, but only by spirit. Maybe in some places of Scotland, maybe not. But anyway, that's the story for another time. So I've gone into this church in Wales, yeah? And it reminded me, when you go to these little villages, there's a pub in these little villages, and they're all related and everyone knows each other, and you walk in and everyone just stops and turns, you know what I mean? And they didn't do it in like a genuine sense, because you know they're middle class and they tried to be like quite nice, but I felt it. They're all there in their, like, you know, their nice suits and whatever. I'm there sweating my box off in my tracksuit, do you know what I mean? Looking around thinking I'm about to knock someone out, right? Spin out, man. And then they all start singing together. I'm like, what is this nonsense, man? Do you know what I mean? So I'm there like, what? So anyway, first experience, and then, you know, there's a guy there, you know, I won't mention names just in case someone his name's mentioned, but a really, a guy very different to me, a very gentle man, very meek man, and a real godly man as well. There was two pastors down there who really, they stuck in with me the best they could. Do you know what I mean? I got to be honest, you know, no one does discipleship like me, but we'll get on to that. Do you know what I mean? But I had no experience of it whatsoever. So, you know, I would kind of, I meet with one of them kind of once a week, and kind of that was that. But, you know, they've done the best they've done it. Very godly men, you know, I stand by that. But in the process of me being down there, and I was still up to all sorts. Do you know what I mean? I remember saying to pastor at one time, John, I mean, listen, I'm trying not to hurt anyone anymore. I'm not trying not to fight no more. I'm not doing any more serious things. You know, I'm just selling a bit of cocaine now. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, and I thought that was really good in my head. do you know what I mean, Ian? I thought like that was it, because I wasn't doing all the other stuff. Was trying. I remember really having a chat with him, and like, I'm only gonna hurt someone or put someone out if they come for me or try to hurt my own, because you know the Bible's quite clear on that. You know, I hadn't got to the New Testament yet, because I couldn't my reading wasn't the best, so I was only, you know, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth and all that. So I was like, oh, this Bible stuff ain't so bad, you know what I mean? but anyway, through my period there, which was, I don't know, a good few months maybe, I was down there. One of those pastors met Mez, and. It, you know, again, that's what I say about God's providence that took me up to Nidri, because first of all, this pastor, like, you know, Sam, do you think you should, it would maybe be good. I remember you saying to really pursue the Lord, you might need to leave Newport. And I was like, I'm not leaving here, do you know what I mean? It's my town. Everyone knows me, do you know what I mean? I don't say this with pride, actually, it makes me feel a bit sick now, but I had a big name and a reputation and all the rest of it, do you know what I mean? So I wasn't done, you know, as a man of the world, you don't want to leave that behind, do you know what I mean? But anyway, God, in his mercy and kindness, his spirit was working in me, and I was still very volatile and going things about the wrong way. And then a few situations happened which were really testing, and to be honest, bro, do you know what I mean? They brought me to a place in my life I'd never been before, and that's what God does, doesn't he? He strips all that back to build you back up for his kingdom and his glory. And in that then, I said, right, you know what? I will give that Mez guy a shout in Scotland. I will try it. Then I'll go for a weekend. I said I'd go for a weekend, and that was 3.5 years ago, and now I'm flipping pastoral assistant in Nidri, so they've definitely got sense of humour. I came at the right time when they were scraping the barrel. that's a brief little thing. There's loads more to it, bro, but that I'm working on being a bit more concise. Do you know what I mean, Ian, bro? Yeah.
Getting to the point.
Yeah, I'm trying to, bro. Do you know what I mean? I try to. I find it very hard. I can do that, but when I do that, it's either very aggressive, do you know what I mean? Or it just comes out wrong. So it grows wisdom.
Let me just take you back a bit, because often we hear about Jesus' encounter with the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus tells him what he needs to do, and that is to to give up his riches and to follow him. And he was a bit like you, thought he was living a good life. He was
a
father. But there was a few things that he wanted to keep hold of, and that was money. And often it's easy to read that and think about the rich struggle to get into heaven. But what we treasure, you were quite rich. You might not have been rich financially, but there was lots of treasures in your life, whether that be drug taking, whether that be hedonism, sleeping with women, and you had a reputation, you had power. So in a sense, you were very rich. You might not have been rich in the sense that often people think. And then Jesus gave you an opportunity, didn't he? And basically said the same thing.
Yeah.
All your stuff and come and follow me.
No. And even now, I can't even think about it too long because it makes me really mad. I'm like, why did I leave that? But no, I'm joking, man. Like, what? So it's a great, do you know what? I was just reading that in Mark the other day, Ian, and it's a great story, do you know what I mean? A true story from the Bible about which young ruler. And it really struck a chord with me because, and I'm really grateful you brought it up because, like you said, there was a lot. When you look, so let me make it clear, yeah. When you've walked a little bit in Christ, like I said, I've been Christian now, like maybe just over 3.5 years, I would say, maybe a little bit longer. But when you look back on my life, and I look at what Christ has done for me now, like there's no comparison really. But the flesh does still want to go back. But at the time, I was like, bruv, I can't be doing this, man. This is because there's times when I, especially in the life I was living, I was flipping loaded, and there's times in our life where we, you know, we don't come in. Do you know what I mean? The money don't come in. But one thing that was always was my name and kind of a reputation. And listen, bruv, you know, I had a real love for fighting. Do you know what I mean? I had a real love for that. And yeah, all of that was really hard to live behind because that's what Jesus done with me. He just said, listen, you serious about me? I've let you kind of lie. Do you know what I mean? He was like, right, I've let you piss about with your sin for a little bit now. Yeah, to see where it gets you. So how about you start sticking it in for me now? Do you know what I mean? And I was like, that was what was in my head as I was coming up to Scotland. And
let me just stop you there, because I think that happens to a lot of us. It doesn't matter where you're saved from, what lifestyle you're saved from. God is very patient with us, isn't he? And like you say, sometimes God is dealing with a sin that's most likely to get you in jail or dead or prevent you walking. Yeah. So that might be addiction that God is dealing with to start with. And as a Christian, because you haven't took drugs for 3 weeks, you think you're doing brilliant.
But you're
around or robbing or whatever. So, so there's that challenge there, isn't there, where you think you're actually doing well as a Christian, but then God brings you to a point where it says, hang on, you've got your feet in both camps. It's either my way or the highway, what you're going to choose. And what was it that brought you to that point where, do you know what, Lord, I'm serious? For me, I was outside a nightclub one night and I thought, I nearly died. I could have got killed or gone to jail for a long time. And I really felt God say to me at that point, like, next time you're on your own, son. The consequences. And I looked at what God had given me and I was like, no, I'm following you. That's it. I'm done. So what did God bring you to that point where you were like, you know what, Matt, the treasure I have in Jesus, there's nothing greater. I'm leaving all that behind.
So, bruv, and that's a great point. And I remember we've talked about that before, you know, about that time outside the nightclub with you, man. And praise the Lord that you had that moment. Yeah, for me, mate. So, do you know what? I'm going to say this, but I hope it does encourage, especially folk who are maybe coming from my background, your background to Christ. So I think I will say it, and it's this, So I was never an addict. I was never addicted to substances at all, right? But something I'll confess, it's just how it is. When I came to Christ, right, I ended up taking more cocaine and drinking more alcohol than I had in the previous 10 years. Do you know what I mean, bruv? It was like, I couldn't, because I suddenly had this conscience like turn on. I couldn't comprehend the things I'd done, and the people I'd hurt. And I tried to tough it up. I tried to man it up. Do you know what I mean? And just be like, no, I don't care, man. I am who I am, type thing. But the fact is, the Spirit starts working in you. There's nothing you can do it. And there was a time, there was a few little things, bruv. And I'll tell you now, it built up to this event. So there was a few little things in those months I was in Newport, like God intervened, and it was frustrating, but I'm really glad it happened. So like one of my boys would be going to one of my stashes to get money or whatever, and a car would break down, or like when they would get arrested, and like I remember being like, you know, I remember I said, my brother, one of my mates, said, you're the richest poor man at the minute I've ever met, because I had money, but I couldn't get to it. Do you know what I mean? And my dad was helping me out, my mum too. And I was like, yo, this is, and then it's a pride thing too. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, oh, this is hard work. And yeah, I was involved with a real sticky situation in the church down there that I shouldn't have been with. Yeah, no, I shouldn't have been, put it that way. But and I remember that kind of went Pete Tong. Yeah, that went south, and I went mad, mate. And I remember turning up to the church, outside the church, and I was there. And then one of my best mates had heard where I was, and then so he turns up in a van with my mates. Do you know what I mean? And I'm outside the church, I'm shouting at people, I'm shouting at the pastors, and you know, and they were great. Do you know what I mean? The whole thing, and I'm calling people out on sin and just the wrong, because the Spirit was working in me, and that is a fact, but. Flipping at me, the way I went about it was all wrong. And I remember going back to my mate's house I was going to be staying with for some time, yeah, because I'd gone back to my mate's house. I remember punching a hole in his wall and then just leaving the next day. And I remember when I left that day, I remember when I left that day, something had happened in the morning. I was like, I've had enough of this. And there was a guy there at the church who, just really, really helped me, and I still speak to him. I try to speak to him every week, and he supports me and Rachel. And it just, yeah, a really unlikely person who I would have got along with. But he came and picked me up, and he took. I said I'd had enough. I was going back to my old life. I had a car lined up. I was back in contact. You know, I was doing all these things. It's quite hard to get out of that life, Ian. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so. When I was, but because of where I was and who I was, it kind of God used that to get me out. I do believe that. But and I was traveling up to the valley where he lives, this guy from the church. He came to the guy. I said, I'm not doing this no more. And he said, listen, can you just come stay with me for a night or two? Him and his wife. So he picked me up, and I remember in the car going back there, something had happened where I was so angry, mate, at everything. So angry at because I knew something happened to me where I knew Jesus was real, but I didn't want him to be real because he's just messed my whole life up. Do you know what I mean? I was angry, I was pissed off at him, bruv. Do you know what I mean? Proper, like, I was like, I'm not gonna say what I was thinking anyway. Point being is this, yeah, I was on the way up to the valleys, and it happened then. I was in the car, and I said, Lord, I am broken, man. I can't do this. Do you know what I mean? I can't do this. And I went to Scotland. And then, even then, mate, the first few months of being up here, I was still peacocking a bit. Do you know what I mean, bruv? And like a dog in a new territory, and saying this, I don't care who's here. I'm here now. And then again, I had another moment then about a few months after being in Scotland where I was like, Lord, I give this to you now, mate. I can't do this. Help me. I want to learn. I want to do these things. And you just don't remarkable things. But yeah, in that trip up to the valleys with a real dear brother, a real friend of mine, who stuck his neck out for me several times, and he in that car was then I remember it's the longest journey I've ever been on, and I was just like, I was broken, mate. I was like, I can't do this no more. I see what the world has to offer, and I see it's all shite. Do you know what I mean? And that was my moment then, and it started then.
Brother, it's there. I'm not denying that there's like structural issues in the church, that the church is geared up for a certain type of Christian, whether that be middle class and academic. And I say that a lot because it's true. But there's no doubt that these middle class Christians, if it wasn't for them, people like me and you,
100%, bruv.
So I can't imagine the fear and the courage of that church when you rocked up, you stood up and said,
Ian, honestly, brother, and I just want to say this now, do you know what I mean? In case I hear this, because I say this with all things. When I say, you know, they never done anything to make me feel like an outsider, do you know what I mean? It was me and my heart and how I was, brother. And you know, obviously they were wary of me, but it's just how some of those church structures are, do you know what I mean? It's not like, it's not just from the environment, but they done the absolute best they could. And the courage, as I said, that you know, the pastors took, especially the one who was meeting with me regularly. And you know, there's some stories, if ever you meet him, I'm sure he'll tell you. But, you know, I did terrify him at times, really terrify him. And he had to have the courage he had And I can't, yeah, without them, and I know I speak specifically about this pastor and this guy, a good friend of mine, and his wife, but, you know, without them, Ian, I would never have got to Scotland. You know what I mean? God used them to play a pivotal part in my walk with Christ. And listen, I am grateful for everything they've done down there. Do you know what I mean? Really great. And as I walk along in Christ and I see how flipping off the chain I am, do you know what I mean? I'm like, I am really grateful for what they've done, you know? Real courage, real bravery, and a love for the Lord. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So again, something else which I've learned as a man, where my stepfather was quite different to my dad and myself and all the other men I knew. He didn't swear, he didn't drink, he didn't smoke, he never had a fight. He was just like, I used to call him like Mr. Bean, do you know what I mean? Behind his back and stuff like that. And me and my brother used to like giggle at him. And then I remember like one night, me and my brother were fighting. We used to have this pub and we were off our heads, and it was quite a violent fight. The police were called, and just as the police were arriving, my stepdad jumped between the two of us. And he said, "Don't hit me, but I'm more frightened of your mum than I am of you." And then grabbed hold of me. And that courage that he showed, his strength, he was a gentleman and a godly man, that he, although he was afraid of a situation, he stepped up. He wasn't violent. He got in between us physically. But he did it out of love for my mum, love for the Lord, love for us. And as I've become a Christian, I've realised what true manhood was. And in a similar way to how you were angry with Jesus when you got saved and you knew he was real, I was angry with Jesus because every defence that I'd built up to make myself feel safe was real. And I wasn't brave like my stepdad because I wouldn't get in between a fight to do what was right. I'd go in with an elbow or a bottle or a bat. Do you know what I mean?
I
wouldn't risk getting hurt for what was right. And I was like, wow, I'm an absolute wimp. And there was this massive conflict going in my head, and I didn't realise how much fear I had till I became a Christian and how much reliance he had on myself and other things. So what was that? You've gone up to Nidri now, you've been relying on your strength and your anger, which obviously God starts working on that. You can't get as angry as you used to. What's it like mentally for somebody who knows Jesus is real? What are the fears and the temptations when you're stripped back, basically?
Yeah, Ian, a great question. And the thing which people will find coming from that kind of, you know, I say background. Listen, one thing I want to say as well, you know, I had a real good upbringing with a mum who, you know, I live with my mum and my brother. It's a single mum, but, you know, she done a great job and the best she can. God repaired relationships lately as well, which has just been amazing that I ruined. But anyway, I've got up to Nidri, and the biggest thing, bruv, for me was pride. What was going in my head was I was a coward. And for what I'd left behind to do this, I felt like a coward. And you know, Ian, man, it's like flipping it, bruv. Even the first few months I was up here, and my mates were flipping murdering folk, or they were getting murdered, you know what I mean? And I was like, I want to dust off my boots, man. I want to go back down there. And then that anger and all, as God works on that, you realise then, well, basically, bruv, you hit the nail on the head a bit. You realise then what it's all about, and how Satan has twisted and perverted God's view of manhood and what a man should be. So look at the Beatitudes, bruv, you know. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see the face of God. Do you know what I mean? Blessed are the peacemakers, you know, all these things. Blessed are the meek, all these things. Things that I'm sure you, and I know me, were never brought up to be like as a man. Or even if my mum told me, like, even things you're doing the way you are, is to be violent and domineering, to go after everything you want, you know, to put people down, to hurt people, and all these things, mate. And as God was working on my anger, and as I was coming across the first month, few months of being in Nidri, I realized that the man God wanted me to be was exactly the man I could never have been before. Mm. Does that make sense? It was like I would have been a coward. I would have been a wimp. The man God wanted me to be would have been a man I would have looked at and said, what a joker before. Do you know what I mean? What a waste man. But God was wanting me to be that man. And I was like, this makes no sense to me whatsoever. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But as I've obviously gone on in Christ and those listen, bruv, if I can give any advice to lads who are coming to Christ, especially from backgrounds involving lots of violence, you know what I mean? Or drugs or alcohol, whatever, bruv, organized crime, all the rest of it, yeah. Is be prepared for Satan and the world to start getting on you for being a coward. Like, because he'll flip it. He's clever, mate. So what he used to do for me is, yeah, he used to say, that guy there, yeah, he reckons he's a bit of a boy, does he, around the church? Go knock him out. And then when I'd pray about it, and I'd pray hard, and I'd either ask Jesus or whoever up here to pray for me, and I'd beaten that, yeah, I got, by God's grace and through his word and reading his word, I got over that and that feeling, that desire, that temptation to go knock him out. The voice in the head would go, oh, well, you couldn't do it anyway, you're a coward now. Do you know what I mean? So it's just like you're constantly flicking between the two. For me it is, going to knock someone out, or you're a coward, you can't do it anyway now. Yeah. And that battle in your head, mate, I don't know if you had it, Ian, but it nearly make my head explode, mate. And honestly, even now, brethren, listen, I would really want to prepare young men or women, anyone coming to this game, is be prepared for that, and because it be expect it, because it does get easier, but don't go away. Do you know what I mean? Once you're a man, but God will use it, right? So if you're a fighter in your heart, God will use you to fight for His kingdom now, and that's where I get my peace now. Yes, okay, I see the man God wants me to be. I see the man His word says a man should be, and I realize actually that's not a waste man. It's actually the bravest man you could be in the world. Do you know what I mean? I tell you what, if being a Christian was easy, everybody would be doing it, wouldn't they, bro? But do you know what I mean? God picks the absolute worst. Do you know what I mean? And to bring glory to Himself. And so, like, that's why now I just think being in Idrian, on paper, I should never be here. Do you know what I mean? I should be doing either a huge jail sentence or you know, I couldn't be dead myself. Do you know what I mean? But on God, in God's providence, He's brought me here. Like, there's no way I should be able to preach and teach and disciple. And that's what brings glory to God, because I'm incapable. I'm an absolute flipping joke, mate. Do you know what I mean? And when I look back at who I was and those months coming here, it was rough, bruv. You're either playing over that anger in your head and you want to knock off someone out, or you were a coward. Do you know what I mean? And it's that battle. For me, that's the biggest thing, is being a coward. And feeling like a coward for what I've left behind. Do you know what I mean? Oh, you know, you've left that behind, bro, because this is the easy life you're living there, when it's not easy. Listen, ministry's the hardest thing I've ever been involved in when I think about it. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, that would be the battles I have, bruv. And for anyone coming, do you know what I mean? I'm sure they would have that too. And just, if I can give any advice, it's just to stick close to a mature Christian or mature Christians, stick in the right crowd, they'll have your back, and to keep reading the Word of God, you know what I mean? To keep to keep being transformed in it. I looked at the person I was when I read Genesis to when I read in Revelation, and I was a different person, man. Romans 12:2, I was renewed to the transforming of my mind. I began to see new things and want new things. But it's a battle, brother, and you've got to keep battling it, you know?
Brother, like, you're 3.5 years in, I'm 20 years in and still have the same struggles. That's
encouraging in a way, Ian, so thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, that fear of being a coward and constantly checking myself, am I being godly here, or is it because I'm just a wimp? And then I wind myself up, did I back down there because that was righteous, or did I back down there because I'm frightened? That can even be over in a church meeting where it's not physical. Do you know what I mean? It's not physical confrontation. I realise that any confrontation would freak me out, and I'd always respond either in anger or in fear, and trying to be assertive is a new thing that I've had to learn, which a lot of middle-class people naturally are, especially if an affirmation growing up, if they've had a loving mum and dad who they've been in a school, they've not been looked down by the teachers. But I felt I was constantly from growing up being attacked and let down and hurt and throughout school. So I had that chip on my shoulder, that mentality where I've got to fight and everything's a battle. I'm always the underdog, where you get some people who have a different upbringing who are just confident in themselves and they never have this. They're just assertive. They just say what they think. I wonder how I'd be if I'd been raised without getting a bat in the mouth, because I think a lot of people's confidence comes from not getting a good hand.
And I, bro, do you ever think sometimes I'm sat in church meetings and I'm like, bruv, you could do with a bat in the mouth. Well, you haven't been battered in the mouth enough. I think that sometimes, do you know what I mean? I have to back down. Come on, Lord, help me. Do you know what I mean? I'm encouraged to hear you say that, Ian. Thanks for sharing that, bruv. That's helpful.
But again, what's encouraged me as well is like obviously that fear, our self-control and relying on self has to be stripped back for us to move forward. God saw you had that, you moved to Nidri, but you also gave up freedom, brother. Flipping heck, it was like, I didn't have the bottle to do that, what you did. And I suffered because of the consequences. I was told to do that, but I did my own thing. I got married early and I didn't get, so I battled with drugs and that.
Yeah.
For a lot longer than needed be, whereas you hit the bullet, got some good foundations, but you ended up like being like a little boy in Mez's house. Do you know what I mean?
I always say it, man. It's one of them ones as well. Like, he'd say things to me, and I thought, I could fold this man like an absolute pretzel. But like, I didn't want to. I had like a real respect for him. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I was like, oh man, but listen, bruv, Ian, you know I the love I got for that guy, man. Do you know what I mean? Me and him are real tight. I'm grateful to that. I'm so grateful to him and his family for what, and my own family, my mother and all are really grateful for what he's done, you know, stuck with me, because he took me into his house. Do you know what I mean? And yeah. His girls became like my sisters, and you know, by God's grace, recently God's mended a relationship with my actual biological sister, which I'm over the moon with as well. And just, I know it sounds daft, but seeing how that godly family was, Mez and his family, well, godly most of the time, you know what Mez does. That's why I fitted right in, bruv. I'm like, this is sick, mate. But like seeing his girls and how they were sisters, I kind of learned how to be like a brother the right way. So then when I did, you know, mend this relationship, when God did bring my actual biological sister back up and we kind of mended the relationship, I was able to show her that I had changed. Do you know what I mean? And that the Lord had done a work. And she's not a believer, but she sees I've made a change, you know? And I'm just so grateful for that, bruv, you know, like having that foundation up. Because Ian, you know what you said, you went long run with the drugs, bruv. I'll hold my hand up, bruv, and I want to have your back with this as well, mate. And I'll tell you now, if I didn't make the decision to come up here, I could have got bad on the drugs. That was because I never had been before, bruv. Do you know what I mean? Don't get me wrong, I'm no saint, bruv. You know, you go out with a boy, you get wrecked up and all like that. Do you know what I mean? But I was definitely taking more and drinking more than I ever had when I came to Christ, and because I couldn't deal with it. And if I had stayed in Newport, that would have definitely spiraled. So I'm just great. And listen, bruv, it's not my strength, it's this God that took me up to Scotland, do you know what I mean? Because I would be quite happy wallowing in my sin, and who knows if I can, I think of something. And it's sad, I think of even this decision, because, you know, because of the name I have, brother, the stuff I was being offered just to take, do you know what I mean? People just wanted me to be on board with them because of who I was, and I had nada. So God, like you said, he gives you the strength to do something straight away, doesn't he? To keep you out of jail, to keep you from dying. But then he wants you to work on some things yourself, and it was like the wilderness period for me down in flipping Newport, man, and it was tough, but the Lord brought me up here, man, and I praise God for that, you know.
So again, it is there's that sacrifice. God is providence. It's the Holy Spirit working in us, so we're not taking credit for what the Lord has done in our lives. But there's responsibilities.
There is, bro. Yeah.
That Jesus gives us, like he says, like, give up the poor and follow me. You give up stuff and you follow Jesus to Scotland. There is a sacrifice needed. And so many people from our background, and maybe just people who come to faith in general, have that excitement of finding out that Jesus is a saviour. But then when we realise he's our Lord, that's when it becomes difficult.
You don't have authority, you know?
Yeah, so you came under that authority in Mez's house. How did that? Because I did a similar thing. I lived with a pastor, but I was already married and had two kids.
Right. Did you? Yeah. Yeah. I never knew that, bruv. Boy, oh.
Yeah, for it, we loved the same thing. Never knew how to be a godly. Never knew how to be a dad. Never mind a godly dad. I didn't know how to be a husband or a godly husband. So, living with a pastor for 3 months and his family was awesome. And I remember, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, but his wife came in and she'd smashed the car up for like the second time in a week. And she came in and said, oh, I've just crashed the car into a lamppost. And I was like, whoa, she's going to get it here. And she went, are you all right, love? And I was like, oh, I didn't even think about if she was all right. I was just thinking about the car.
That's what I mean. Like,
but it was just these little things that I never had growing up. It was just so foundational. It's been so helpful to not just my fathering, my parenting, or my marriage, but also to my ministry. And that's why I want to reflect godly manhood to other men. That's why we look at Titus and want to involve younger women with older women. So you've gone from a church where you were meeting with somebody once a week, you had a lot of sacrifices. Mm. But compared to the blessings you got by moving to Nidri, what were they? How come you're still there 3.5 years later?
I don't know, bruv. I don't want to be here, to be honest, bruv. It's just I was done from week one, mate. But God, God, the plan. I feel like he's got me on the scruff of the neck. You know what I mean? I feel like a naughty lad. Nah, listen, bruv. It is blessings, mate. I know. I'm pissed about it. I'm a joke, whatever. But listen, it is blessings. And I would say the biggest thing is, man, I remember when I come up here, yeah. It felt like home. I think is the best way to say it, right? Sounding like a cheesy idiot, like. But I remember the first time hearing a service, and I was like, "Yo, I get what he's saying." I remember hearing Mess preacher. I thought he was speaking directly to me. I think I said after him, I said, "Well, I think I was like, why do you say that?" Well, I was like, "You know, I get all defensive and all, you know." And he's like, "No," he said, and he explained to me, and I remember just getting on with sticking in with the team. And listen, Brad, I was hard work, man. Do you know what I mean? But especially that first month, you know, I remember having a little review at the end of the month, and yeah, Mez really, yeah. All I'll say is Mez really stuck his neck out for me, man, and he said, "Nah, listen, I see something in this lad, I guess, Joe, because he's done it. He's got a gift for that, hasn't he? Do you know what I mean?" And but I still don't know what he's seen yet. I don't think anyone else does. Anyway, grace too, eh? So yeah, he kind of stuck his neck out, and then it was being in that family. Like, listen, Ian, I've said this to you, I think, briefly earlier, man. And I had a good upbringing. My mother was on the ball, and I'd see my dad every weekend or every other weekend or whatever. Do you know what I mean? And me and my brother were close, and as brothers are, and you know, it was all my fault, brother. I was just off. I've always had a real streak in me, and do you know what I mean? Since a young age, quite cruel and mean, and I made all the decisions I did to go off, especially when I was in my 20s, bro. I was well into organized crime and all sorts. So I did have understood what it was like. I never understood to see the whole family and how they work in a house, and I remember being real surprised, Mez and Miriam and the kids, they were all laughing and they were all joking, they were asking how each other was and stuff. And I was like, it's been a while since this. And I was like, hang on, this is mad. Do you know what I mean? And it, just having that foundation of being there. And also, bruv, and this is something, now I'm discipling a few lads, do you know what I mean? And there's a young lad up here. I was in the office when you came up the other day, yeah. And he's just given his life to the Lord, which is a blessing. But Rachel and others, they'll see how much I pour into him, and it's because of what Mez done with me. Mm. Like at the time, you don't get if the one being discipled, which I was, I didn't see how selfish I was being. Mm. I didn't see like and Ian, you know what I was like, bruv, because you've known me for pretty much time. But when I want to know things, I'm, you know, like yourself, quite blunt, kind of will say how it is. So when I want to know things, I want to know things straight away. So I'd be keeping him up at night. He'd have to be sending me he was sending me sermons on the Kizzle deck at 10 o'clock at night, do you know what I mean? And things like that. So I was like, what does this mean? Who's that? Who's this? Do you know what I mean? And he just showed real grace and took me. And the big thing was his house was just a real peaceful house. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm contrary to popular belief, because I'm loud, people think I'm an extrovert, but I'm actually a huge introvert. Like, Rachel thinks I'm borderline flipping antisocial. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so I could really learn to rest in that in Mez's house. Like, they just kind of left me do it let me go about my day. They give me my privacy, and at the same time, I knew they were there and had my back. And then down the church, then you're given jobs to do down the church as an intern or whatever. I kind of stuck in, but you know, I was the only thing flipping it. Look what I was doing before, I'm not doing this stuff. Do you know what I mean? I was a bit like I said, anyway. There was just a real family feeling at the church, and like that kind of living together. Do you know what I mean? Discipleship was a huge thing there, and I had to bring people along. And I think of the grace I was shown, and I want to kind of pass that on to others. So that was the big difference. Don't get me wrong, there was a blessing in Newport, in the sense of like that I was even at a church that, that preached the gospel, do you know what I mean? Which it really did. But up here, you know, everyone's local. Yeah, most people are local. You're living with folk. You're doing lives with folk. And something, you know, that I found really important was structure. Do you know what I mean? Like I and it's actually translated into my life now in a really positive way. And you know, it allowed me to instill spiritual disciplines into lads I'm teaching. That'd be very helpful for me. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, I would say that's been it. Some of the blessings, mate, is a discipleship. The teaching you get here is second to none. Do you know what I mean? And don't get me wrong, though, have to stick it in. Do you know what I mean? It's because you know the Lord. It's like being in a furnace up here. Do you know what I mean? You get found out quick, Ian. That's what I'm trying to say, bruv. You know that, bruv. If you ain't with the Lord, or if you're messing about with sin up here, bruv, it gets found out. Like not that this flipping, you know, there's a team of like CID. It's just the Lord. Just you got a group of people like myself or Mez or others on the team who have come from backgrounds where, you know, we're cynical at the best of times. We can spot someone who's lying or a rat from a mile off. Do you know what I mean? Or CID, but that's a story for another time. Anyway, point being is this, yeah, bruv. You get found out quick up here because the accountability here is taken seriously. The word of God is taken super seriously. Do you know what I mean? And so if you're mucking about, it'll get found out quickly. So I'm really grateful for the structure that they have up here that has allowed me to grow, really, and just the willingness, the sacrifice that they show in discipling me and others. So that makes sense, bruv?
Yeah, definitely. And again, you've had some unique opportunities up in Nidri, travelled around the world and meeting different Christians from all over. Even went to Brazil. You had to be careful in Brazil. Big shout out to Dan and Kate. There's a funny story there, but we won't go into it.
Bruv, I'll go there all day, mate. If you want to go into it, Dan and Kate still be modified. Do you know what I mean? Listen, Rachel's counting her lucky stars anyway. That I kept it all good anyway. She got to marry me after, so that was all good.
Hey, funny. Yeah, so you're married now. God's been really good, isn't it? How do you feel on a night when you're lying down in your bed and when you first went up there, you had these battles going on in your head, what you'd left behind, and now you see what God's given you. What's your head like putting it down on a pillow these days compared to what it was like when you first moved up there?
Yeah, man, that's a banging question, bro. Like, I was that man from Proverbs who would lie on his bed and plot evil at night. Do you know what I mean? That's what I was, bruv. And flipping it. You talk about bearing a grudge. Me, mate. Someone owed me a quid or 10 grand, it made no difference to me, mate. Or if someone said something, I'd stew and I'd be like, yo, I'd go through doors and all, mate. Do you know what I mean? Just plot evil. And now, a piece of Mez has really helped. And do you know what I mean? I remember when I first come up there, bruv, like, for sleep. So, like, what I would do is, because we had this structure thing, but I would quite often do what I wanted to do. Do you know what I mean? Which I realise now how annoying that must have been for where I was leading the team. Do you know what I mean? I'd go off to a cinema and I'd sleep in the cinema because I couldn't sleep at night. Do you know what I mean? I'm used to being up, you know, watching stuff, or, you know, you're always on the alert. Do you know what I mean? And I go to cinema and I go and sleep in the cinema and I maybe watch a film after it. Do you know what I mean? But I learned to, about 6 months in, I really got a bit of peace at Mez's. And then when I got married, and now, like you said, when I laid down my head, it's just a different ball game, bruv. Like I'm tired by like 10 o'clock now. Do you know what I mean? Half 10, and I lay my head down and I look at what I've got, and you know, even if Rachel's snoring, I'm still grateful to. She's gonna kill me saying that. She doesn't snore, man. She's very. She. Me and her are very different. So listen, there's still little things like I'll still sleep outside a cover. I can't sleep under a cover because I've just got used to moving quick. Do you know what I mean? But in that, bruv, I find a lot of peace and I just sleep. And Rachel's been really good. Do you know what I mean? So I lie down and I think, Lord, I don't plot evil no more, Ian. Do you know what I mean? In my head. I mean, we all have our moments, but when I go to bed at night now, I sleep. That in a nutshell. And listen, boys like me and you, or men who are coming from our background, will know that sentence. Now when I put my head on a pillow, I sleep. They'll know what that means and they'll know how precious that is. That is a peace you can only get from the Lord Jesus Christ. I think, what is it? Is it Psalm 4 verse 8? And it says, in safety I'll both lie down and sleep, for you will Lord, make me to dwell in safety. That's it. I will both lie down and sleep for you, Lord, make me to dwell in safety. And you just feel that, man. Do you know what I mean? And it's just a real, that's the biggest thing, bruv. Do you know that out of all the blessings I've got, like I've got an incredible wife who I've seen, I've said before, is far too godly for me, mate. She's flipping, honestly. But anyway, God's got, well, blessed me and sanctified her anyway. So that's all right. And, I've got an amazing flat. Do you know what I mean? Which I love. I've got my health and I've got my fitness. I've got my right mind. But despite of all of that, the greatest blessing the Lord has given me is peace. Is a peace that, you know, we have that Romans 5, don't we, that peace with God. But it's very easy to skip over that peace with God. Oh, that's good. Nah, it's brilliant, man. When you know that, like the peace I have in my life, and what that entails for me, do you know what I mean? Just having that, I can breathe now, Ian. I think that's the best thing to say. You know what it's like before you were saved, mate, you're jumping about, you're ducking and diving, wheeling and dealing, all the rest of it. There's no rest, man. But now I have that peace, which I think lads like us secretly are always craving but never have. I think that's what we're always working to, innit? That peace. And, you know, it used to come through those, do you know what I mean? But now it comes from knowing God, it comes through His Word. And yeah, that peace which I have now is the greatest blessing that God has given me.
Awesome. A great place to end. Brother, it's always a pleasure. I love you, mate. It's been encouraging. You've been very well behaved. Rachel will be proud.
That's good. So I do sound outrageous now or something? Yeah.
I'll put in that phone footage I've got from when we were away up in Scotland.
Duck that in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Duck that in there. Yeah, or maybe that recording from what I said to you and Dan and Kate.
I'm waiting for the text off Dan when he hears this.
Listen, bro. What I said was bang on, 100% factual, mate. And I tell you what, help me keep my way pure. I tell you that much when I was out there.
Oh, awesome, brother. It's been great chatting with you, and hopefully I'll get you back on later in the day.
Ian, thanks for having me on, bruv. Listen, you stick in. I appreciate you, mate, okay?
Cheers, brother. God bless, mate.
God bless, Ian. Bye, brother.
Bye.